to another beautiful episode of Behind Space Cast, the official podcast of BehindSpaceMusic.com. I'm here with my gracious co-host,
Aaron Salazar. What up, what up?
What's going on, dude? And this week we've got a special guest in the studio. We're recording live from the Salazar pad again. Mm-hmm. This is a longtime friend of mine and longtime friend of yours, but...
Longer for you.
Yeah, well, we grew up together doing music, and I've talked about him on the podcast before. Lead singer of Enter and Divine, Joshua Basman.
What's going on?
What's up, brother?
Just chilling.
So we're just pretty much shooting the shit. This is going to be a long episode, I'm guessing.
A lot of tangents.
If we have to cut it in two parts, we may do that.
We just had like a 20-minute conversation about just like random bands. Yeah. And we weren't even recording. So if we're recording, you might go longer.
There's going to be a lot of talking, a lot of going on tangents, and a lot of talking over people. So let's do our best, all of us, to just talk one at a time.
Try the eye contact, like, your turn, your turn, your turn.
Yeah, that works. But we would like to put forth our disclaimer that we always put in front of every episode, which is we are not podcasters. We are music makers. We make music. So if you want professionalism, go check out the music, BehindSpaceMusic.com. Check out Josh's music, EnterInTheVine.com. Check out my band, ShamelessPlug.com. DividedByDesign.com.
Dude, ShamelessPlug.com, don't go on that website. It's dirty.
That's it. Yeah. But I'll add that on there. We just get together and talk. And Aaron talks a lot of shit about Mario Lopez, and every 2 weeks...
Isn't
he
scheduled to die tomorrow or something?
Probably something like
what?
That.
Well, I cleared my day.
Apparently, whenever we talk about somebody, they die the next day, so we're going to try to stay away from Steve Jobs or Apple talk.
It's like our own personal death pool.
I suppose so, yeah.
Like, so if you guys have any requests, send it in. We'll talk about the person. Doesn't matter if you're famous or not, we'll talk about it.
That's awesome.
It'll happen.
That's fair enough. Send in your, what's the email?
BehindSpaceMail@yahoo.com.
So send in your request.
Subject line, like, please kill this person, then fill in the name of that person.
I'm going to play good cop, so if Aaron wants to take over that process. Cool. See, you can go ahead and do
I mean,
that.
Donations are welcome. It's like a hitman service.
Just don't be surprised when, like, your mom's name shows up.
It's all cool.
Just an email with your name.
Okay, that's like what's it called? It's like the ring or whatever.
I think you mean the time traveler's wife.
What?
No.
Did it happen in that movie?
I don't know. I never saw it.
Okay.
So, usually we talk about music news for the first segment. So, in music news, if you heard our latest beautiful track that came out, that was our great track 30 minutes or less that we recorded.
I just put it under 30 minutes. Like, I just said 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Because I mean, like, the movie and whatnot.
Gotcha. So... we put that out just for fun. That's if you listen to the last podcast, we just made a song in under 30 minutes, and it was pretty fun. Some people got confused when I was telling them about it. They thought it was a 30-minute song.
Oh, God.
That's a little different, yeah.
Ooh, you open it?
Yeah. So we...
close.
So that's out there if you want to listen to it, but... we'll try to come up with some cool bumper music for today. I don't know what we should use for the end of the show. Whatever we opened with, it was probably great, though.
It's going to be fucking sweet.
Usually we talk about that before.
And we don't... And yeah, I'm not sure. We've only used a couple songs, so we have multitudes to use.
Yeah, we should probably put up something decent because of what we did with 30 minutes.
How about we put like little snippets of the new stuff?
We could do that.
Just instrumental.
I think you wanted to lead into a discussion about dubstep music.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we could put up our little wannabe dubstep
little
beat.
Wobble.
Yeah, I mean, we're working on a little bit of stuff that incorporates a little bit of that. So.
Yeah, but it's in more of our lane. It's not like a straight up dubstep song, obviously, because that's not what we do. But it's like a.
In my opinion, we've always done a version of dubstep.
Yeah.
It's electronic music with... I think our music is just different all around. Yeah. So...
Well, electronic is a... It's a big umbrella. It's kind of like indie music.
If people really are getting into dubstep, they need to listen to Behind Space.
There you go.
Behind Space is amazing. I would listen to Behind Space before I'd listen to any dubstep, so...
There you go. Yeah, well, I kind of wanted to ask the audience, or you two, actually, what do you guys think of the... Because I know both of you guys are Korn fans. I am, too, to an extent. I haven't listened to them in a long time. But they just made a whole album with a bunch of different dubstep producers. So what do you think of that thought process, A, and what do you think of the actual music? Like, as a business move and as a musical move.
I've heard two songs off it, and I like both of them.
Yeah.
I
think they're good, and they're melodic.
I just found out.
I think it's better than their last record.
I didn't even know.
I think it's better than their last record, personally.
Yeah.
What was their last one again?
That Korn 3. It was all just stripped down and,
recorded
like the first record and stuff with Ross Robinson again.
That's right.
And that was great too, but I like what I'm hearing. Right?
Yeah.
I like the direction because this sounds more like an issue, or not an issues, but, Untouchables and stuff.
Yeah.
It's more that, more melodic and stuff like that.
I like his melodic stuff, and I think that. Yeah. He's got a very different voice, but he can make it... He can make a good melody.
The direction that people hate about Jonathan Davis for going in, I like the old Korn, that shit's is what it is, or whatever they say, is what I like about them now, is my favorite part, is the progression and the melodicness, but you know me.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about Silverchair in the past and how they've moved towards a totally different sound from where they started, and so...
Diorama was amazing.
Yeah, well, and some people hate it, and they love Frog Stomp.
Well, that's amazing, too.
All this shit's over my head.
But their last record was their only record that I felt was sort of last lucker.
I think that we're able to see the progression, though.
If I can talk right.
I think we can see the progression of
the
music.
Yeah, I liked it.
And
I'm sure they'll make another.
We were talking about Incubus also before we started the podcast and how their music is... always changing and always turning into something completely different, and it's like,
well, I think they've gone more, they do change, but they more have phases where they have like two albums in one section and two albums in another kind of thing. Like I would put Make Yourself and Science, actually no, I put Science and Fungus in their little thing, and then it was Make Yourself and Morning View, and then so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I can't remember album titles after that.
See, well, I know I'll get a lot of shit for this, but I think that Fungus Among Us was unlistenable. I think
there
that
were,
Science is totally listenable.
Well, Science is in my top five of all time. That's like that,
I just think
that
it's got a lot more melody throughout the whole thing.
Fungus Among Us was
so abstract.
Straight funk.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is they had pockets. They had pockets of greatness in there.
Not that that's
bad. But they didn't know
you
how to harness
it
back then. They weren't, listen
to it.
But the thing is they weren't the musicians they were back then. And they were probably high on God knows what. So I think they didn't find their sound. I think Science...
They did all that themselves back then. Just
and Science is where they found their sound. And Science is a flawless record, in my opinion.
Yeah,
well,
that's
amazing. Well, that kind of roots to... We were talking in the car earlier, and we were saying how the first record that you put out is just almost like you're kind of starting to find your sound, but it's not even close to
what
you're going to become.
Yeah.
You're putting the feelers out and stuff like that.
The music's going to change, and... And I think once you get yourself set up, I think that bands that do that, like Incubus and the other bands that we mentioned that change all the time, I think I would rather be ready to hear one of their albums than get all excited for a more genre-like album. I mean, if I'm waiting for
there's some bands that their albums are totally predictable.
Yeah.
Or when you hear their album, you know what era they're from, and you don't want that. Like, you can listen to Incubus albums, you don't know what year they're from. You can listen to a lot of, I'm not going to spit out a band's name or whatever, or an artist's
name.
They
still sound modern today, even Science.
Exactly. But if you listen, I'll put a hip-hop name out. If you listen to T-Pain, you're going to know it's from 04 to 2010.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Or you put auto-tune on a song, you know it's from this thing to this thing. It just, and you don't want that. You want to be timeless.
I sort of got stuck. Well, I wouldn't say stuck, but instead of listening to new bands at a certain point, I just started old shit and listening to the same bands and just following their careers and not really straying from a certain quite a few, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in a way that's bad, but a lot of the new music that I hear I really don't like.
I
feel old. I start to feel old. I'm like, wow, like what I really love is gone, you know?
I just think it's tough to find good music out there, and finding a trustworthy source that's going to deliver music to you and have it up to a certain standard. It's tough for me to find music that I can find plenty of music, but to find music that's up to my standard is very difficult. And that makes me think that either I need to lower my standards or that like that music is just changing in a way.
Yeah, thing is also there's so much stuff that's been made. There can't possibly listen to it all. What I do is like, let's say I liked an artist back in the day and I like this song. I just go back in their catalog and there's like 5 albums of shit that I've never listened to. It's in a different rotation.
Well, I think that's what he was talking about. Yeah. That's how I am too, is you find like a few bands and then you just buy up all their stuff, you know? And then maybe search through their similar artists and kind of like maybe find a few more, but then it kind of gets sloppy, you know? Like some of those similar artists aren't so similar and there's a fine line there.
I heard Gene Simmons say you know, you are in a pool of just thousands of people doing the same thing that you are, but most of those people suck. No offense, but it's the truth.
I agree with that, and I think that...
You've been on battlethebands.com.
Yeah, and I...
Well, that's not the band's fault. It is the band's fault, kind of, but it's mostly the fans' fault, because the fans can't recognize good. That's the thing.
It's really hard to get fans into music, or people into music now. It seems they were having that discussion. A lot of these, you know, support local music. You know, there's not really any support at all.
The people who do support, they end up supporting you in weird ways by wanting to charge you for their services. It's not something that they're doing out of love for the music necessarily. They're doing it to make money off of you. And that's the problem, is everybody turned the music business into a business. Versus it just being about fun and music also. That's been going on for decades, though. The thing is that back in the day, it used to just be about fun and music. And then people got more business-minded. And there was a point there, I think, that there was a nice little balance. But now people are too business-minded.
What it is people in suits used to do all the thinking about business while the musicians just... didn't care and just lived their lives and played music, and when it was all about the music. Now, and when they just had fun. But now, with the state of the industry, those people in suits aren't able to really get our backs the way that they used to, and so now us musicians are having to think and do business things.
Yeah, I think that too. I just think that the way that the state of the music industry is just... there's so many ways of playing it. What we really need more than anything is a reliable source to tell us, you know, this stuff is good and this stuff is crap. You know, this is worth listening to and this isn't.
Well, there are, but there's small sections. That's what music's becoming. It's more spread out. People are listening to a lot more different stuff. So it's not consolidated, like, you know, MTV was back in the day. Or VH1 was back in the day. It's all spread up. They got these little websites for these little genres, or, you know, they got Pitchfork for independent labels and a couple of hip-hop sites and stuff like that. And there's Sonic State for electronic.
Gotten split up so much to where it's hard to...
make money off.
Get an audience that you can affect. I mean, when your audience is cut into sections so small to where nobody's talking to anybody... Music naturally travels by word of mouth. That is how music has always made money. It's when one person hears it, they tell the other person. And you can think about your whole life when somebody told you about a record versus you hearing about a record in an advertisement or anywhere else, you definitely went and got that album a lot more of the time when you heard good reviews from your friends or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that word of mouth is slowed too, because there's so much stuff out there and people just throw on the radio in the background, and I don't think that many people are actually listening to it anymore.
But at the same time, there's a place for that, though. That music has music is, or the music is entertainment. It is for the soundtracks.
Those kids
people
are still out there.
Yeah, they're
I
out
think
there.
They are. I just, you know, things are getting so sliced, so thin that it feels a little dire out there, you know, like a little. I don't know. It feels like a wasteland out there when you're trying to promote something because...
Well, yeah, it is oversaturation.
I mean, unless you got a shitload of money, you're not going to be making a lot of leeway real fast.
Yeah. What's the old saying? It takes money to make money.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And at this point, if you're in a band, you own a small business. And
yeah, and every business, you're going to start... Your first few years, you're going to be, you know...
You're going to be putting into the business.
Yeah, you're going to be hitting zero or below.
Yeah, and it's an investment, and hopefully you hope to make back that investment. But with this type of thing, you could be throwing money into it exponentially, especially when you're on the tech side like you are, Aaron. Like, I mean, with the computers and the way that technology leaps forward, it's... Unless you're making lots of money off of a record that comes out every year, like, you're not going to make back the money that you are going to make investing in the newer technology to make the better music.
Yeah.
And
well, that's also, since the music industry is changing so much, the money streams are changing. The way people make money is changing. So that's what, movie industry, you have to find new ways to make money because the internet threw a monkey wrench in the whole system, so that people are finding out ways to make money off of that system.
Yeah,
well, or to make a living or whatever, not to make it about money.
Well, so do you think that, like, right now, the current state of the music industry, do you think that the labels are going to have a rise again, or do you think they're going to continue to fall and there'll be some kind of musical revolution where... I think there already has been a musical revolution, but what I'm saying is, like, will it continue to happen? Will we continue to see the demise of the record labels?
I mean, literally, it depends. I mean, because there's a lot of smart people that own business, like, own these record companies. So if they find out a way to do that, I mean, they kind of are right now. But if they find out a way, then sure. But as it is right now, they're gonna go. They're not making God knows how much money they used to. So they're probably going to be going down in, like, 10 years or whatever the hell. Same thing with big recording studios. That's what we're using right now. That's the future. These little studios. This little here, little here, little there.
Yeah, I feel like that these corporations are getting real smart, and instead of, like, purchasing an artist or, like, deciding to put money to back an artist that's, you know, that's trying to make it, they'd rather find a for sure thing. Something that's already got numbers that are backing it, which, I mean, that's obviously a good business decision, but they've also incorporated themselves with things like American Idol, to where it's like they fool the audience into thinking that they're making the decision, when in fact, like, those people have gone through, like, 4 different auditions to even get on stage.
And
they already had, like, a complete musical and visual makeover.
And they're not doing original material for the most part, and the thing is that, like, the labels will own them from the day that they are created.
Yeah.
And it's a more solid business model versus going out and taking a gamble on some kid. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just getting to the point of where if you are a quote-unquote struggling musician, then you just need to stop the struggle and find some way to find your audience. And that, I think it's gotten to the point of where... You just need to find that audience, and once you do, then you can actually have a fruitful career, but unless you can do the legwork or find the right people to get that audience to you, you're going to just continue to struggle.
Or, I mean, I've heard this before, that musicians in the future, at least, they're going to be doing music and doing good music, but that's not the only thing they're doing. They're doing other jobs, other side things, whatever.
Yeah,
so it's like a multitask kind of thing. We're doing that right now. We have real jobs.
He just said that too, with the fact that, like, old musicians used to be musicians solely, and now they're more musicians / business people because
I'm talking about not relying on music as
I know what
as,
you're
as,
saying.
As an income
I know what
stream.
You're saying. I'm just saying on a smaller you know, scale that maybe we're moving towards what you're talking about is that, you know, we're already doing that.
That's my problem. You know? But like, I don't really people see are
not
myself doing anything
not,
else.
Not relying on music to make money or to as a revenue stream at all. Like, it's there for supplemental, but they're going to be having a whatever the fuck job. And then they're doing the music on the side, or however they think of it, having a job on the side, however their mind goes. Well, but the music's not going to change. Like, people are still going to be making good music. People are still going to be listening to music the same.
I just think that the rules of music are definitely something that are a thing of the past. And, like, people like to say that music is free and you can do whatever you want in music. But the truth is that, like, what music used to be and what it is today is two totally different things. Like, music used to be an art form.
Yeah.
And now it's a structured thing that fits into a box and gets wrapped up nice and tight. And that's never what art should be. Art should be free-flowing and open to interpretation and open. Now people have like these preconceived notions of what music should be. And that's nobody should ever go to a painting and be like, well, that guy painted outside the lines. That's wrong. Because like technically there's no wrong way. And the thing is with the demise of the record labels, there's a good chance that we're going to see some really interesting writing and really interesting ways, new ways of like forming music in the future. Like, not only are we going to hear new sounds like dubstep, but we're going to hear new lengths and new structures and new melodies and new things that we've never heard in the past because we don't have those boundaries that the labels set for us. Mm-hmm. We don't have those things. We don't have somebody breathing down our neck and looking over our shoulder every move that we do. So when we look at something and say like, holy shit, this could be fun. Like, let's fucking just do this for shits. Like, you could, you know, hit some gold there and have, you know.
But how are you really going to get yourself out there to the true audience?
Well, and that's what I'm saying is that's the big problem is that if you don't have that in, like, if you're not incorporated with some label, you're not going to be able to cross that barrier.
You're not going to be able to get onto TV. You're not going to be able to do.
It's the promotion aspect. And once you find your audience, I think, like there, we've obviously seen examples of bands that have put out one record on a major label, found their audience, and then gone independent from there on. And
so, with you saying that it's probably going to fall in 10 years, hopefully we all break now, and then people will know we're here, and they will support us whether we're on a label or not.
Yeah, but the thing is, you got to remember, people have ADD nowadays. You got to be hitting them this. You got to be changing all the time, or putting out new stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like I said, that's an interpretation, but I think that there's a lot of rules that are going to be broken in the future that have been set out by the labels. Like, some people are going to take 3 to 5 years to put out an album, and it's going to sell a lot better than people who put out albums every month.
But I think not just the label, I think it's the artists that are fucking up too. Like, no one's putting a gun to their heads and telling them to make shitty music or make shitty decisions. They're making these decisions. There needs to be a revolution within the art community.
What are you talking? You don't think that there's fucking labels out there that are saying cut this and this would sound better like this?
Now, I'm not saying they're not doing it. I'm just saying it's a double-sided coin where the artists are doing not sketchy things. What am I thinking of? They're making bad decisions as well.
But what I'm saying is that they were brought in from the beginning like that. You know what I mean? It's almost like they were raised to be that way anyway, because they were brought in like Justin Bieber's like fucking 14 years old. He's already a dickhead fucking celebrity, and that's because the media has allowed him to be that way, and they've brought him in. The labels have brought him in as a moneymaker, like the same way that they do with these American Idol people.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's obvious that the people don't make the decisions, you know.
Well, they're humans. They can make decisions.
Well, look at American Idol, dude. Fucking, they say that the people are judging and voting on that show.
I thought you were talking about the actual singers.
Sorry. I'm just saying when it comes to music and shit, like, there's a lot of decisions that are being made by the corporate people that the everyday person that has no idea is going on. And it goes all the way down to the shitty little venues that you go to play, and they try to screw you out of $5 here and there. And it's like, it's not all the time the corporate people, but it's like the structure of what music has become is like rob the artist of any profit that he can possibly make. And all we're trying to do is create and sustain a decent way of living. You know, it's like we just want to make music and fucking have a decent life and not have to stress about everything. So I think that that music in general, it's already showing change, but like it's going to take the musicians now to, and the artists now to just look forward and be like, this is, we're changing music for the better versus just fucking going along with the setup of what the industries have set forth in the past. Like, we no longer have to live inside the box. And Behind Space has never been that. We've always made music that was free and fun because that's what the project started as. Mm-hmm. Where you and I, Josh, you and I, like, we've been guilty of trying to write within that box. Like, we try to write to that structure and try to please those people. And I'm not saying that, like, we wrote directly for those people. We wrote music for ourselves. But you're influenced by things even though you don't realize you are. And we've talked about that on the podcast
before. Well, I think, from what I see, I think you guys were in that audience. Like, you were making music that you yourselves would like. Yeah. And so technically you were writing for that audience, but you were in that audience.
Yeah.
Like, I can speak for myself for Behind Space. I'll listen to metal and whatever, classic music, and then I'll go up and switch Behind Space. I let everything influences, so I'm making music that I like, but I'm not necessarily making music I'm gonna listen to 24/7.
Yeah,
but it's just like you just kind of write and kind of comes out.
Yeah,
well, you at least for me, when I write, it's more of like I as much as I would love to take credit for it, it's very much a like an antenna turning on, you know. It's like when you turn on a radio receiver and you get the radio station, it's like the radio's not doing that much work. It's just being the catalyst, you know.
Well,
like,
I think of it as kind of competitive, but like I'll listen to music or I'll watch a video on people making music and I'll get pumped up like, fuck that, those guys suck, I'm gonna do better than that.
Yeah,
I look at it as a sport kind of thing. Like, yeah, I'm competitive.
I've never looked at music as a competition. I guess we've had our brotherly thing, but when it comes to writing music or being in the band scene, actually, I think I'm doing the best that I can, and other people are too, just doing the best, you know.
I think, but it's hard.
I never think to look at a band and be a little judgmental.
We're all guilty of looking at a band and being like, "Those guys are shitty."
Now, because of the stuff that we've gone through with Intern Divine, I really, in getting my age, I'm not old, but pushing 30, you know, you're like, "Fuck, man, I need to wake up, do something," you know. But we're
getting the itch.
Anyways, you know, fucking, am I allowed to cuss, obviously?
I already said fuck like 2 times. I think that's the only cursing.
That's the only cursing.
Yeah.
Dude, I said fuck in the first 5 minutes. I always say fuck in the first five minutes.
We're like creeping up on 10 right now. You need to
really, I'll mark it down for you in the future.
Well, I got a whiteboard right there where she'll make a little hash marks.
Yeah, this is the second time you've thought that you ruined it, but I actually always say fuck in at least the first 5 minutes.
All right, I think. That was 9.
I believe I blew up and said, "Are you fucking serious?"
So what were we talking about again? Because I was
the competitive nature of music or whatever the hell.
Really?
Yeah, you're like how you.
I thought we had moved past that. And
it's recorded. We could go back.
Yeah, we could check it.
No, it's not. No,
go ahead. Just keep.
I'm not even worried about it.
But... Well,
well, the thing is, okay, because I know on your what you're talking about.
That's what the shit'll do to you.
But
music life will make you. make you hard and
crazy. I see. I wasn't talking about competitive between band members. Like, I don't
know. No. You're talking about within the
industry. Yeah, or not even that.
Just what I was talking about is everything that, you know, we've gone through, and even you, you know, just it all, I find myself getting bitter, and I'm mad at myself for feeling like that, but it's just there
sometimes. Well, that pushes you to do better, though.
Yeah, it does.
That's all you're looking for. It might not be real or not, but that's pushing you to get better.
Those days, I think any writer or any... There's something to be said for somebody who puts themselves on stage in front of however many people and wants that attention. There's some craziness in there, you know what I mean? And like, you have to be self-aware of that craziness off the bat. You have to know that that's part of you. But, and then that craziness also leads to some other stuff, you know, because when you're deep enough to write a lot of poetry or whatever you write, then it can also lead into some emotions that you may not particularly want to have, like anger and hatred and shit.
Yeah, well, you gotta have a little bit of a head, or a, what's it called, ego on you to have for that shit. That's definitely sure. It's like you gotta be some kind of a dick to be a salesman or whatever.
What do you got there, Webb?
A little spider or something.
Great radio right now.
Yeah, we're not supposed to talk about that, though.
No, it's cool. Break the fourth wall. I've killed like three bugs in this room today. I was straight up murdering fools. Dude, burn that motherfucker. Burn him.
Don't waste the weed.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, it's fucking medicinal.
I don't know if I got him or not.
Dude, well, crackle it on the mic so we get like killing a spider on the mic. It's good.
No, dude. I don't murder animals.
What? What are you, a fucking Buddhist monk?
PETA, that was Aaron, and you can reach him at behindspacemail@yahoo.com.
Yeah, not ESPN.
ESPN?
No, what's the what's the dog shelter shit? SPCA or something?
You're really digging yourself in a hole.
We shelter dog shit.
I'm drinking. Anyways.
So now that we've tangented away from the music news, let's move into the next segment, which we usually talk a little bit about current events. And
was that even news?
That was music discussion time. Like I said, yes, that was a tangent. Yes. That was definitely not what we had planned on discussing. But
it's all that we talked about the tangents before we started. Yeah,
we warned people.
So that was
we're just
very
being ourselves.
That was professional podcasting by us. That we knew it was coming.
Exactly.
So that, I mean, we are professionals, kind of, not really.
Actually, I specified in the beginning of the podcast that we're not professionals.
Well, maybe it was you're being ironic. Whatever.
We're professional musicians because
We're not professional. We're not making money, so we're not professional.
I make
you're
money
not. We are on this side of the microphone over here. All right,
let me see some. Let me see that money.
I'll give you a dollar, brother.
It's cool. I'll dance.
Have we talked about our sponsor on the show before?
Have we? I'm wearing a shirt.
Talk about the sponsor a little
bit.
All right.
Dude, you know more than I do.
Yeah. You're wearing the shirt.
All right, I am wearing a... What color is this? Green?
Green.
It's like a mint green shirt with a lion with a top hat. It's DFTA clothing. Do not feed the animals,
don't
correct?
Feed the animals, yep.
They're based out of Brooklyn.
That's right.
Nice.
And seems like a cool dude. I haven't talked to him in, you know, I talked to him on the internet, so I guess that's real life, right?
Yeah. Well, he likes our music. We like his clothing.
Yeah.
I really like the
this today, forgetting we had a podcast. I just wore it because it was clean and I wore it.
It was meant to be.
Yeah. I look like a thin mint right now with the black jacket.
We'll post up the pictures. I don't know if we post.
Yeah,
think
you did
we posted
it on,
one on Twitter, but
he posted it twice on Twitter, I think.
Mm.
Either, well, you know.
I don't think people are counting.
Well,
except for you, apparently.
It's my business to count.
I'm like Aaron's our biggest fan. He's been emailing me like one, crazy two, about the show.
Pictures on Twitter.
So current events, man. Movies, TV, radio, CDs. This is what we were talking about.
The Walking Dead earlier, right?
Yeah. I watched the season premiere of Walking Dead. It was good.
Yeah.
It was.
Did you watch it? Did you catch up on the first season?
I'm not as obsessed with it.
Did you catch up on the first season?
I've seen the whole first season.
Okay. Because it's like 6 episodes or something like that.
Yep. It's good. It's a good show. Like the special effects people are the same special effects people for the Breaking Bad.
The Two-Face
Off episode.
Yeah, sorry, I read that. Actually, it was the other way around, where the Walking Dead people came over to Breaking Bad.
I'm pretty sure I said that.
No, whatever.
Go ahead and play that back, people. All right. Right into Behind Space Mail.
We have another notch. We have another notch board. Which one? Aaron is right. Jeff is right. Anyways, that's we didn't talk about it on the podcast because it happened in between, but that Breaking Bad finale was fucking great.
Did we not talk about the Breaking Bad?
It was
Bad
in
finale?
Between the last podcast.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, dude. It was like some Terminator shit.
It was great.
We could spoil it, right?
Well, no, but why not? I think that because we had a whole episode about spoilers last week. Dude, we don't want to fall back on.
We're at the yin and yang. It's complicated.
It's complicated.
But about that episode, though, there was some shit in that episode that was great, though, man. I mean, the Breaking Bad episode.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to go into specifics, but what did you think of the twist at the end?
If you're talking about 75% of the way through the end, if the face-off part?
No, the last shot.
I don't think it was much of a twist. I think that I saw that coming.
I did too. I mean, it was like 50-50, so. But I mean, what did you think of that? Okay, what do you think of that?
It was filmed well.
Yeah, but what do you think like the direction of the character?
Oh, I love everything about the show, and I think that since day one, it's been pretty obvious where we're going.
Yeah, well,
because
what they called the. I heard it. They're taking Mr. Chips into Scarface, which basically now. The main guy in Breaking Bad is Scarface. He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, so the main character of your show is a bad guy who does really bad things. Can you root for that guy? Or is it harder?
I've heard this discussion on, like, 10 different shows, and, like, I really think that, like, that's what they want you to be thinking through this time. Like,
well, that's the whole Sopranos. That's all that was.
What I loved about this episode was that it honestly could have closed out the series for me, and I would have been pleased. Like, there's a lot of overall arc questions from the very first season that we're going to find out in this final season. But I would have been happy with the way that this ended and me just imagining the rest of it. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, if that was the end of the season, I would have been fine with that. But I'm way excited that we've got 2 more seasons coming up. One more season cut in two.
Yeah, it's two eight episode seasons. But either way.
Is it 8 or 6?
16. So what's 16 divided by 2?
Oh, is it 16? Okay. I don't know. I don't check my facts.
I sounded like a dick when I said that. I'm sorry. Well, don't laugh like you're already thinking that. That's dick of you. See what it did there?
You're being a dick right now, dude.
All these dicks and fucks in this podcast, we're going to need the explicit rating.
Well, and then I also watched a few movies today. I watched, it's about a year old this month, or like in a few days. It's a year old, but it just came on a Netflix Instant. It was a Paranormal Activity 2.
Yeah.
Finally watched that. The third one's coming out in theaters like this month sometime.
You guys can talk about
it. It was pretty interesting.
Have you seen 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was good. It was it was kind of different the way that, because if you've seen the first one, it kind of takes place around the first one versus being a prequel or a sequel. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because like half of the movie starts before the events in the first movie, and then the rest of it take place during the events of the first movie and after. So it's like, it's a prequel and a sequel all in the same movie. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That's when she came up and broke his neck, right?
Yeah. No spoilers,
man. No spoilers. Oh, yeah.
And that's one thing when I saw the movie is, like, it was all pretty predictable. Because
and now they're saying number three is the very beginning of it all.
Yeah, and that's a legit prequel, apparently. Yeah. So who knows if they'll tack on some end stuff. Because it was only, like, the last 10 minutes where they really showed some scenes from the first movie and stuff. But it was okay. If you've seen the first one, if you live in San Diego, it's better.
Because it's all San Diego based. Carlsbad, right?
Yeah, and they, you know, they talk about, like, the Chargers and stuff like that. So it's just some context to make it feel more real. And there's definitely some, like, jumping points. I'd rather a thriller than a gory-ass fucking Saw movie or something. Slasher film. Yeah. So, I saw that, and then I also watched the fucking... a movie on a subject that we've talked about on the podcast many times. And I don't even want to bring it up.
Bring it up!
I know it's going to bring on a conversation.
I bit my tongue on the Paranormal Activity thing. Go ahead.
Are you ready to spout? I don't really want to fight this subject, but I did watch an hour and a half documentary today.
News Change? That's what it was.
I should have remembered the title of it, but it's all about copyright infringement and sampling. And
no. I think
it's on Netflix now. It's streaming.
It's the one that's on Hulu?
I have no idea.
All right, there's one on Hulu that I watched.
But it's got a lot of notable people in it, and it goes through the history of sampling, and it goes back to some of the most sampled people, and, like, some of the artists that are the most sampled artists.
It was the James Brown drummer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, so, I mean, that documentary, like... It said, I think one of the subtitles on it was, like, you decide, but then it was very, like, opinionated through the whole thing, I felt, like
pro or con?
I forgot. I felt like they were aiming more for, like, they were trying to say that, like, sampling music is the future of music, and that's the next logical step,
certain genres of music.
Because I think the point that they're trying to make is that, like, you know, they're paying homage to those people who did stuff in the past, you know, and it's like...
Yeah, well, like I'm, if I remember right, the James Brown drummer was like, fine, fuck it, I had a ball playing that. If you want to sample it, sample it.
Well, I don't know if you watched the whole thing, because at the end, you see, definitely specifies, he's like, it would have been nice to, you know, get a dollar for the shit, but... He's like, more than anything, I'd like some respect, you know? He's like, most artists, and I know this from a first-person account, they want immortality as an artist. They want their music to go on forever, and that's their legacy.
That's what I want out of all this.
You know, and that's, I think a lot of artists aim for that. So they could care less if their music succeeds while they're even alive, as long as it carries on and it becomes something. Mm-hmm. So... This dude, his point of view was like, if they would have come and just shook my hand and said thank you, and he said that, like, one artist out of all of them came and, like, said thank you, and that's all he wanted, you know, and I find that really respectable.
Well, I think the way sampling worked with hip-hop, at least, because that's what they were sampling with a James Brown drummer, that shit is totally, what's it called, not word of mouth, but it kind of goes down and down and down, where not resampling, but it's like, some guy sampled that shit in the 80s. And that shit just got trickled down. So they don't... It's so diluted. Not the sound is diluted, but the source is so diluted. They don't know where it's from.
Yeah, well, and that's the case. And they went on to say that a lot of people... When it was popular, they would blatantly do it. And now they try really, really hard to hide it.
Yeah, or you gotta be really careful.
There's even artists out there and... They in the video, in my opinion, they kind of talk crap about this and that it was too much work. But in my opinion, this is the way it should be done, which is the artist played the music and then they recorded it and then they sampled it. So they played a certain type of music and then they sampled it in a different way. So they could have that sample sound live, you know what I mean? So that they could be scratching those records and doing that stuff live versus... taking some old stuff that's art, that's somebody else's art form, and creating something.
Well, gotta also remember that's how hip hop got started. Hip hop got started by party jams,
but pure that was a transitional period, and those people were not getting in trouble for what they're doing, and they it was the wild, wild west at that point.
It's true.
And the thing is like once you realize that you're affecting somebody else or hurting somebody else, you should probably stop what you're doing morally. There was one dude who said, like, no laws need to be changed. Like, people just need to fucking act right, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but people don't act right.
The government's got their hands in enough shit. We don't need more laws and more drama. Like, it's enough that we are aware of the problem, but it's up to the artists, again, to fucking act right. Just the same way that, you know, we've heard about Carlos Mencia and shit stealing jokes. It's like,
he was unapologetic about it.
Well, he's apologetic now because the people reacted to it and they did something about it. And that's all I'm saying is that if you see something that's wrong, don't fucking support it. Yeah. If you see some...
That's why Milli Vanilli instantly got shut down.
Yeah, well, that...
Instantly.
And, like, but look...
That was a different thing, though. That was lip sync.
But it's... They cheated.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of accounts of it, you know, other
but
than...
But, like, I guess what I was saying, too, also to that point, where sampling is just a way of how people make music. It's not a question of... It's just the way they made music since the beginning. Yeah.
All I'm saying is that go and get permission from the artist who created it, and half the time they're not even going to want the money, dude. What is the harm in going and giving that person credit for the work that they put forth? Because otherwise, you're discrediting their fucking efforts.
I went up to the guitar player of MGMT and told him that we cover Kids, and he's like, dude, fucking play that song as much as you fucking want, man.
Well, you don't have to pay for live, do you?
Well, not for live, no. To record an album.
It's true.
I would like to record it and then release it for free, but I heard that you can even get in trouble for that.
Yeah, technically you could, but that's in court you wouldn't get
the fuck. Here's what would happen is if you release that and you gave it away for free, you would not be breaking any laws. But if at some point you started damaging or affecting the name or the product of the person that you had sampled or done something with, and it became influential, then they might want to send a cease and desist letter. And at that point, they would contact their lawyers, they would send a cease and desist letter, you'd get a letter, and at that point, that would be the decision-making part, where you either pull that shit off like you're supposed to because somebody said, hey, that's my stuff, stop it, or you ignore it and you get fucked. And that's where people get fucked.
Or you ignore it and you make them chase you, and then you get notoriety for it.
Well, and that's what hip-hop has done. But, like, think about that, dude. Like, there's been people like Mencia out there that fucking still make a huge paycheck. And how did they get there? By underhanded fucking fucked up ways. And everybody who's an artist that's in that industry knows it. And nobody's going to want to work with that fucking asshole. So think about what he's doing for his future. His career is going to be short and sweet. Like,
the guy's not even Mexican.
You just have to be... He's not, dude.
He's like Costa Rican and half white or something like
that. Yeah, he's not.
He's married a white chick. Fucking sellout.
And he changed his name, too.
Yeah, it's like Charles something. Charles.
So did the mayor of L.A. or some shit.
Tony Villar.
Yeah.
Villaraigosa.
Yeah.
And he failed the bar 3 times.
And he, like, changed his name to sound more
Spanish. You listen to Adam Carolla.
He rails
on that motherfucker all the time.
I thought about changing my name, but I was like, you know what? That's not me. I'm
your last name? Really?
I've heard a lot of people say that you should have a stage name. I thought it was crazy when I found out.
You've heard people say that?
I've heard a lot of people that say that you should have a stage name. Think of all the people
that said that. That's weird.
It's in a lot of, like, business type books and shit like that when it comes to...
I thought you were talking about
you
personally.
Specifically. No, but...
I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, like John,
all these
Johnny
people
Black.
Just keep mailing the show. They just ask me if I know you, and then they... Yeah, give me tips for you.
I mean, in general, a stage name, or like if you have a certain kind of name, stage name?
A lot of the time it's actors. Most of the time it's actors.
Yeah.
Well, actors also lie about their weights and their fucking ages.
But what is the one that I was...
and their sobriety.
The one that's funny is the Miley Cyrus one. because her name isn't really Miley Cyrus.
Her dad's not named.
And her name isn't... What was the other name that she went by for the show that got real popular? Fuck,
I'm Hannah Montana.
Yes, that's what it is. Thank you.
I'm so embarrassed for knowing that.
Nobody cares, dude. And so
that's
like,
really a pretty common fact.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, you could walk into just about any store and fucking see that shit everywhere. But that's not, neither of those are her names. So she's got like three different aliases that she goes by out there, and she's probably got other ones that she goes by too. It's like, goddamn.
I remember one time I went into a meeting with a studio or some record label motherfucker, it was a publisher or something like that. I forgot. I went in with my producer and we were talking about the rapper we were talking about. And the rapper was 28 at the time. And this was back in 2005. And we go into it and the guy was asking, like, oh, are the rapper, like, how old is he? And then I say 28 and my producer goes 25. At the same, and we say it at the same time, and then he looks at me like fucking daggers. What the fuck are you doing? And then we get out, he starts yelling at me, what the fuck are you telling him his real age for? It's better if he's 25.
What the fuck?
I know, it's just the way people think that people prognosticate and think they know what people want. Or
that might
people...
be a good idea, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's the same thing as getting fucking plastic surgery. What's the fucking point? Yeah.
I think everybody should just fucking be themselves.
Yeah, dude. We're all in our late 20s, and we all look like we're in our early 20s to a certain extent.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, so at the end
I'm
of the
youngest
day,
one in the room. I can just
dude,
chill.
Dude,
your
fucking band's a bunch of late 30-year-olds, and they all look
one
young.
In the room.
Yeah, yeah, no. That's
so,
very
I mean, what
true.
The. What? The, literally, what's the fucking difference? Like, the guitarist for Disturbed was like 40 when they got
Think
big.
About Harriman, who we were just talking about.
Dude, that guy fits in with like 18-year-olds.
He looks like an 18-year-old. And
I mean, he has a beard, but, you know.
He's a lot older than. Any of us in this room.
But he acts like a 20-year-old, so what the fuck's
it's
the difference?
It's all in what you make of it, right?
He doesn't act like a 20-year-old. He has a spirit of a 20-year-old.
Fair enough. I think that we got a lot more to talk about, dude.
Yeah?
And I think right now might be a good time to break.
Break? All right. We're going to break.
We're going to go to commercial. Enjoy
we'll
this.
Do some we'll do some music in between. Or we'll split it into two parts.
I think we should go to commercial because we've got
stay
a new sponsor that we
stay
want.
Tuned for our sponsor,
yeah,
Coca-Cola.
Check out the new no, wait till we get the paycheck on that one. Check out our latest sponsor.
Pepsi.
Not Pepsi, dude. Just stop saying stuff after I say stuff. Press spacebar after I say this. Check out our new sponsor.
Coca-Cola's Apple.